Hello and welcome to the Shiva Dynasty League podcast, episode number one. I am your host and commissioner of the Shiva Dynasty League, Jamie Battaglia. And we are going to be providing some fantasy football discussion in a way that might be different from other podcasts you may listen to regarding fantasy football. So we will be going through the matchups within our Dynasty League and reviewing fantasy football results, kind of what we've seen from certain players and, you know, some of these lineup decisions that owners within our leagues have made and those sort of things, rather than going game by game basis based on the NFL games. So for today's episode, we are going to recap week one within our league, discussing the results from each of our matchups and what we saw there. So before we get into that, I wanted to provide some basic info regarding our league. This is a 12-team dynasty league. We started this league up in 2013, so we are going into year 7 right now. It is a PPR league with some bonus scoring, 3 bonus points at 100 yards rushing or receiving, or 300 yards passing. We have 2 divisions within the league. And a 16 playoff. Division winners would each get a bye, and then the next 4 best teams, regardless of division, will get into the playoffs as well. Being that we are going on year 7 here, we have only had 3 orphans within that time, which I am very happy about. It's never easy, to find somebody to replace a team, but based on other leagues I've been in, and I've been in quite a few, having only 3 orphans within a 7-year span, I think, is very impressive. I think it says a lot about, you know, the quality of our league as well and how invested a lot of the owners in the league are into this particular league. One last piece about the league in general. We have a dynasty pot as well. So this dynasty pot is built each year by taking an eighth of the total buy-in fees for each season. Plus, we also have transaction fees that are taxed throughout the season. For example, every team gets 5 free waiver pickups throughout the season. Anything over that is $2 for any free agent or waiver acquisition. Trades within the season are $1 per team. And we also have a taxi squad in season as well. Any promotions from a taxi squad to an active roster are taxed at $2 per transaction as well. And then lastly, going back to the Dynasty Pot here, I never said how you can win the Dynasty Pot. So to win the Dynasty Pot, you must win 3 championships within, over the lifetime of the league. So the first team to win 3 championships would take home whatever is in the Dynasty Pot at that given time. So we've had 6 seasons completed. We already have 2 teams that have 2 championships to their name thus far. That would be Ryan McKeaton, who has won the championship each of the last 2 years. And then Mike Love, who has won the championship in the 2 years before Ryan won his 2 in a row. So 2 teams are sitting 1 away from taking home the Dynasty Pot at this point. So obviously, teams like that are more willing to sell out and do what it takes to win that 3rd one, being that they are so close to, winning. And, I think we're right around 2 grand or so after everything will be added in this season for the Dynasty Pot. It's about, $200 to $300 per year on average we are adding to that. And then lastly, the league size with our rosters and everything. We have 24-man active rosters. We start 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 receivers, 1 tight end, and 2 flex plays. No super flex plays, however. And we also do start a kicker. I know that can be a controversial topic, especially within a dynasty league. We've put this up to vote a couple times in our league, too, to remove kickers. That vote has not passed yet, so we are still playing with them. I have a feeling we'll be putting this up to vote again at some point this season to possibly remove them for next year. So we will see how that goes. and that's really it about the, you know, the basics of our league, some history behind it as well. So before we got into our recap for week one, I did want to provide all that to give everyone the background to help better understand our league. So without further ado, then I will go ahead and move forward into our week one recap here. So the first matchup I will go through today will involve my team. And the team I played was a co-managed team by Ozzy and Kevin. Their team name is In Memory of Gronk. You may hear me refer to them as that as well. And my team name is James's Famous Crab Shack. So we'll start with my team. Based on my team name, you can guess that my quarterback is Jameis Winston, who obviously was a big letdown this week. He just looked terrible. You know, at the time of recording this podcast, this is actually Friday, so Tampa just played last night, their week two game on Thursday Night Football. He did look a little bit better then, but still not great what we're seeing from Jameis. He got me 7 points week one. He was quarterback 33, so that, I mean, there's a team out there that had two quarterbacks get more fantasy points than Jameis Winston did for me in week one. Moving down to my running backs, I had Aaron Jones, Philip Lindsay, and James White in my lineup. You know, nothing great from any of them. You know, James White was okay. He got me 13 points. Finished as an RB2 for the week. Lindsay, I was expecting a little more from, but, you know, he was in a timeshare with Royce Freeman pretty much. He played 53% of the snaps. I think Royce Freeman had the remaining 47. And then Aaron Jones, I mean, that was a really tough matchup against the Bears, the opening game of the season. Not good at all. 13 touches for 39 yards, or on the ground, that is. And that was more of a timeshare than I think people anticipated as well. He only received 60% of the snaps in that game. Moving down to my receivers, some more bad luck here. Tyreek Hill, who got injured early in that game. Adam Thielen, who did have a touchdown. However, Minnesota threw the ball for a grand total of 10 times that game. I know Minnesota was talking about running the ball a lot more this year, but you know, that combined with the game script for that game, they were up and running the ball pretty well. So there was no need for them to really throw. So he got me 13 points, nothing great. That was a finish at wide receiver 39, so not even wide receiver 3 for the week. Moving to my tight ends then, Travis Kelce and George Kittle. Obviously, that's my, you know, best area on my team right there, having two of, you know, potentially the top two tight ends they have in Dynasty right now. Solid games, nothing too great for them. Kittle was tight end 9, Kelce was tight end 13 for the week. That got me a combined 25 points or so. A kicker, I'm not going to go through kickers too much here. 11 points for my kicker, who was Justin Tucker. My team scored just a fraction under 90 points for the week. However, that is not good. I looked at it, even that was the lowest point total my team has scored in 2 years within this league too. So obviously I did not win this week. I lost by quite a bit, about 80 points. I lost by to Ozzy and Kevin. Highlighting their team here, Deshaun Watson, QB3 for the week, 30 points. Great game, and what everyone, I think, expected to be high-scoring game with the Saints on Monday Night Football. McCaffrey, the number one running back for the week. Overall, the second-highest scoring player of the week behind Lamar Jackson. He had a great game. He played 100% of the snaps, too, which he did pretty much last year as well. So I think that's something to be expected from him. And then Chris Carson also had a solid game for Ozzy and Kevin, finishing with 24 points. Finished as a top 10 running back on the week. His receivers, you know, nothing great on that end. You know, a couple solid games, but, you know, nothing too great there. Tyler Boyd and DeeDee Westbrook both had 14 points. Will Fuller had 9 points, and DJ Moore had him 13 points. So average games there, nothing great, but nothing that hurt him too much. Then tight end, David Njoku, 14 points. He scored a touchdown in the Browns week one game. And then a few points from his kicker netted him just under 170 total points there. So that was quite the ass beating for a week one matchup. I'm a little worried about my team, to be honest, between injury and whatnot. I did have some good bench performances, however, that were a little encouraging moving forward. Phillip Rivers got me 27 points on my bench. Hindsight, I obviously should have started him over Jameis, but I really like Jameis's matchup against the Niners. I thought he would do a lot better than he did in that one. Darren Sproles had me 13 points on my bench. I wasn't sure. They kind of re-signed him really late in the year or even into training camp, I think. So I wasn't sure he'd really get the touches he had gotten in the past. But he did. And, that's a big-time share in Philly at running back there. I don't think he's startable by any means, but, he's got some potential value remaining, it looks like. Receiver-wise on my bench, I had Larry Fitzgerald, who had a really good game, 28 points, and in that big comeback. Well, I don't know if you call it a comeback if you come back to tie, but that was a strong second-half performance by Arizona in that one. Then Cortland Sutton, 22 points on Monday Night Football against the Raiders. He looked pretty good. It looks like him and Flacco might have a decent connection going forward, especially on some deeper balls down the field, which play to both of their strengths as well. And then TJ Hockenson also on my bench. He blew up in week one. I thought he would be good, as a rookie. I didn't expect a huge breakout like this week one. I don't think, anybody really did, but he looked really good. And, he can definitely be, in the top five tight end conversation for dynasty purposes, by the end of the season. And then moving to the bench performances for Ozzie and Kevin, a couple big games on his bench as well. Marcus Mariota, 24 points. He only completed 14 balls, but there were some big plays there to kind of pad his numbers. He finished as a top 12 quarterback this week too. Derrick Henry, a big game on the bench as well. He had one of those said big plays from Mariota on a 75-yard screen pass that went for a touchdown. So he finished with 29 points and finished as RB4 on the week. Marquise Brown, this was a huge game too on his bench. Just under 34 points. Two big play touchdowns for him. He finished as the wide receiver 5 and a top 10 overall scorer this week. However, he only did play 18% of the snaps. So, that's obviously extremely efficient, playing that little and, having those big plays there. I would think they play him more than that going forward, based on how he performed in those limited snaps. So, he can definitely be an impact player this year in fantasy. DJ Chark, he had a big game. He had a big touchdown on the outside for Jacksonville. I believe that one was from Gardner Minshew too, after Nick Foles got hurt. So Chark could have some value going forward too, with Minshew in there for the foreseeable future, at least while Nick Foles is on IR with the broken collarbone. Then another one here, Christian Kirk. Not really a big game. I think he only had a few catches in that one. Finished with 11 points. But Arizona does pass the ball a ton. Yeah, I think Kirk had 10-plus targets in this game. He played 93% of the snaps too. So, it was hard to, everybody thought Arizona would be throwing a lot, and they have, but it's hard to project the wide receiver usage for them. But it looks like Kirk will be on the field almost, entirely, in that offense, which is a good sign for, owners of Christian Kirk. And, that's it for this matchup. Going forward, I'm obviously a little concerned about my team with a couple injuries there. AJ Green is also on my team and injured. I should mention that as well, who would normally be a starter for me. But I do consider myself, you know, a playoff contending team, and you know, I have some deep options here that I can go with. So I'm not too concerned about that, about getting to the playoffs, but I might be stretched a little thin getting there. And as far as Ozzie and Kevin's team goes, they've been rebuilding for a few years, but I do like where their team is at right now. I definitely think they have a good chance at making the playoffs too. Definitely think they're, you know, a top five team probably in our league. So things are looking up for them going forward, I think. The next matchup we will review will be Nick Selfo, who is team named The Rising, versus Joe, who is Garopolypse Now. This one was a little bit closer than the first matchup, where The Rising beats Garopolypse Now by about 30 points in this one. We'll start with The Rising, Nick Selfo's team. Quarterback, he had Jacoby Brissett. Solid game, 16 points, finishes QB 18. I think he'll take that from Brissett. He did also have Andrew Luck on his team, so obviously the late retirement into training camp there hurt his team some. He wasn't very deep at quarterback, having only Brissett as a backup, and then picked up Ryan Fitzpatrick off waivers right after the Luck news broke. At running back, you had Nick Chubb, Mark Ingram, Joe Mixon, and Damian Williams. Ingram had a really good game against the Dolphins. He did only play 33% of the snaps, however, but you know, a lot of that can be attributed to the blowout that game was too. He did get most of his fantasy production early in that one. Damian Williams, he was also in a little bit of a timeshare with LeSean McCoy. He saw 66% of the snaps. But he still did finish with 18.5 points, finished as RB13 on the week. So that's encouraging news for any Damian Williams owners going forward as well. McCoy did look good too. Didn't get quite as many snaps or touches as Damian Williams. Damian Williams was playing most of the third downs too. So, I mean, it's hard to not look good in the Chiefs offense, but Damian Williams, definitely the guy to own over McCoy still going forward. Nick Chubb, he had an okay game. He kind of got vultured on a touchdown on the first drive of the game for the Browns, which would have made a big difference in his score. He finished with 11.5 points. Joe Mixon finished with less than 4 points. He did get a little banged up in that game too. I think he's questionable for week two right now as well. Gio Bernard did look well, look pretty good in his place, however, when he did get hurt in that one. Receiver, Keenan Allen and Alshon Jeffrey, both with good games. Keenan Allen finished with just under 30 points, finishing as the wide receiver 6 on the week. And Jeffrey with 22 points, finishing as wide receiver 19. Jared Cook, a little bit disappointing in Monday Night Football. He only had 2 catches in that one for just under 6 points. Big game for kicker for The Rising and Greg Zuerlein. Legatron, as they call him, with 18.5 points in that one. Moving over to Joe's team, based on his team name, his quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo, who got him 10 points in week one. He did not look good. Neither him or Jameis looked good in that game. Hard game to kind of watch even. I think there are 3 pick sixes in that game combined. But 10 points for him, good enough for QB25 on the week. At running back, Darius Geis, who got hurt in that one, he had just under 7 points before he went out. Looks like he's going to be out a few weeks at least as well. Second running back, he started Daryl Henderson. His team is not very deep at running back at all, so it was kind of a hope for the best start with Daryl Henderson. He had 1 carry for 0 yards, so no points for him. Some of his other, his other options were Jalen Samuels or Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson did look good in this one. He did receive a number of catches, and he's probably, he's going to have to start him going forward, but for most teams, he would probably be a good consideration for flex plays as well, especially with Geis out for a little bit. And then, Jalen Samuels was his other option. You know, he played a decent amount, but, only a couple fantasy points for him. Moving to the receivers for Joe, this is the strength of his team with Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, and Josh Gordon. Adams, however, did have a disappointing game. It was his worst game in, I believe, 2 years as well. He only had 7 points, or fantasy points. Again, that was a tough matchup against the Bears. Josh Gordon looked pretty good, 16 points for him in that one. DeAndre Hopkins, he had a great game on Monday Night Football, 34 fantasy points. He finished as the number 4 wide receiver on the week, and he was a top 10 scorer on the week as well overall. Michael Thomas picking up where he left off as well, 25 points in that same Monday Night Football game. He finished as wide receiver 17 on the week. And a tight end, Joe had Zach Ertz, get him about 10 points. Philly seemed to spread the ball out a little bit in this one. So not a bad game, but, you know, you expect a little bit more coming out of Ertz. And then 12 points from Dustin Hopkins at kicker. So that left Joe about 30 points short in the loss there. Some notable bench performances, starting with the rising. 15 points out of Devin Singletary. He looked really good in this one. You know, there were concerns how Buffalo would use their backfield. But Singletary was in there a lot. He received 70% of the snaps. Frank Gore did get a number of touches too. He didn't play nearly as many snaps, but he was in there getting a decent amount of touches. But you know, he's Frank Gore. There's not much left in his tank, especially for fantasy purposes. So I think Singletary's usage will continue to go up, and he looks like he can be pretty good in that offense. Randall Cobb, he looked really good, 17 fantasy points. Everybody on Dallas looked pretty good in that one. You know, their top three receivers all had solid games. Cobb finished as a wide receiver 25, so just outside of a wide receiver 2 range for the week. And then Marvin Jones, only 10 points week 1. Not great. You know, the Lions were running the ball a lot, and they did spread the ball out a little bit in this one too. So there'll be some better games to come for him, but I don't think we'll be able to rely on him as we have in the past moving forward. For Joe on the bench, Tom Brady, a solid game, and that blowout win against the Steelers, just under 29 points for him, finishing as QB7 on the week. Chris Thompson, we already discussed, he had a solid game with 15 points, you know, finishing as RB16. Sterling Shepard, he had an okay game. He was catching some balls in that game. He had finished with 10 points, but he did get concussed in that game, and he is actually just ruled out for week 2, so I'm not sure how much time he'll end up missing from that. But that's about it for this matchup. Joe's team, I believe it was just missed out on the playoffs last year, or he might have gotten as the 6th seed. I'll have to go back and check that. But, you know, his team, obviously his weakness is at running back. You know, if he can make a move with one of his receivers or his depth there, that'll definitely improve his team and give him more of a chance for this year. But, you know, obviously other than that, he's stacked at receiver, good at tight end with Zach Ertz. So there's some hope for this year if he can make a move or two that really help him out. And as far as the rising, his team finished 2nd place last year, lost in the championship game. He actually beat my team in the semifinals after my team had a nice 11-2 season. And his team was bolstered last year with the addition of Damian Williams right at the end of the season. But his team's in good shape again for this year and should definitely be a playoff team and in consideration to be a contender as well. So that's it for that matchup, and we will move on to the next one, which is Ryan McKeaton, team name was Shad Bumgarner, versus German Wonderkind, who is new to our league for this year, taking over an orphan. His name is Ram. And in this game, we had Ryan McKeaton win by a score of 117-88. Neither team had a great performance this week. A lot of low scores in these starting lineups. We'll start with Ryan McKeaton, who is also, as I mentioned earlier, our two-time defending champion within the league. At quarterback, he had Aaron Rodgers get him 13 points. Again, everybody on Green Bay struggled in this one, in that matchup against the Bears. Alvin Kamara got him 24 points. He looked solid. Looked like a normal Alvin Kamara game that you should expect from him. Finished as RB10 on the week. At a second running back, he had to take a goose egg from CJ Procise. And you might be asking why he started CJ Procise, but let me read off the other running backs on his roster. Melvin Gordon, obviously that is hurting him. Dexter Williams and Tyler Irvin. So with Melvin Gordon holding out, he is in some trouble for that second running back spot in his lineup. So he's obviously hoping something is resolved on the Melvin Gordon front, or he will need to make a move at some point to address that position. At receiver, Danny Amendola, who was an emergency start with the Antonio Brown news, as Antonio Brown is also on his team here, and there's new drama every day with that. So Amendola was a good start. Well, he was forced into the lineup, but it paid off big for him with 26 points. You know, he finished as wide receiver 12 on the week. Stephon Diggs, he was a little hurt going into this one. And again, Minnesota only threw the ball 10 times. You know, he finished with just under 6 points. Not great there. And probably a little concerning going forward as well. His splits, whenever he's been on the injury report versus not, are not very good. So hopefully that injury heals up for him quick. Torrey's not limited moving forward. Julian Edelman, solid game from him, 17 points. Wide receiver 28 on the week. Then Mike Evans, not a good one here, 4.8 points. Part of that was Jameis's poor play. Part of that was the team's poor play on offense as a whole as well. Not a good game. I'm much better to be expected moving forward from Mike Evans. Although last night being their week 2 Thursday night game, a little better, but I think he had like 10 or 11 fantasy points in that one, but slow start to the season for him for sure, but definitely should see those numbers go up moving forward. Then Hunter Henry at tight end, solid game, 10 points in this one. However, the news did break earlier this week that he has a fractured tibia, so expected to miss probably 4 to 6 weeks at least with that injury. So that's yet another, big hurt to Ryan McKeaton's team for the near future, at least between him and Melvin Gordon. And then Antonio Brown, who as of now looks like he will be playing this week for the Patriots, but you never really know with him, we've come to learn. So we'll see how that whole situation plays out. Moving over to German Wonderkind, his team is in a rebuilding mode, so we don't expect too much from him right now, but he's got a lot of young players on his team. Kyler Murray is his quarterback, who we drafted in the first round of our rookie draft this year. Good, started off really slow in that game, but he had a huge second half and finished with a respectable 25 points. Finished as QB11 on the week. Running back, Tariq Cohen, Ezekiel Elliott, and Sony Michel. Cohen and Elliott, both solid games. Elliott, you're just expecting a little bit more. Being that he just did sign earlier in the week, that extension, and ended his holdout, they did limit his snaps. He only played 54% of the snaps. So he finished with 13 points. But I think we'll see his usage go up a lot more moving forward. Sony Michel, that was a concerning game from him. He only played 33% of the snaps and a blowout. I think we thought this was going to be a Sony Michel and James White backfield only, but Rex Burkhead did come in and he stole a number of touches from both of them in this one. And Michel only finished with 1.4 fantasy points. So a little concerning going forward with him, based on their backfield usage in New England. At receiver, Corey Davis with a goose egg. No catches on 3 targets for him. They obviously didn't need to throw the ball that much toward the end of the game, especially toward the end of the game when they were winning big, but I'd be very concerned if I was a Corey Davis owner right now. Did not look great, and that passing offense in Tennessee is, it's going to be very volatile, I think, going forward. Kenny Galladay, he had a touchdown on this one, finished with 14 points, not a bad game there. Cooper Kupp, a little underwhelming in this one, just under 12 points, finished as wide receiver 45 on the week. But, you know, I'm not too worried about anybody in the Rams offense. They should definitely get those numbers, you know, week in, week out moving forward. O.J. Howard at tight end. This was, again, an underwhelming game by Tampa's offense overall. He only finished with 5 points and only a couple targets for him as well. Not a great game for him, and it got worse last night, actually. And we'll talk about this more on the next podcast, but goose egg last night on Thursday Night Football. Definitely very concerned with O.J. Howard. You know, I have him in a number of my redraft leagues as well, and not looking good, not a good start, but we'll see how that progresses in the future. And then 3 points from his kicker in Jason Myers. So yeah, that was the matchup there. Bench performance wise, with Ryan McKeaton, Carson Wentz had 28 points on his bench. Kenny Stills, he had a big touchdown at the end of that game, finished with 13 points. They're kind of easing him in Houston still, so I would expect his usage to continue to go up the next couple weeks here. He only played 42% of the snaps in that one. And that's about it for bench performances for Ryan McKeaton. And for German Wonderkind on the bench, 22 points from Matt Ryan. Solid game from him. Terry McLaurin blew up week one, 26.5 fantasy points. Finished as wide receiver 11 on the week. So somebody has to be the number one in Washington. And it looks like McLaurin is starting to emerge as that. So he can definitely, he might be able to be relied on moving forward. I kind of want to see a little bit more, you know, of a sample size before I'm all in on, you know, starting him in leagues. But, you know, he looked like the real deal week one. And Kyle Rudolph, he was goose-egged in week one. He was on the bench for German Wonderkind. No targets, no catches. Again, Minnesota only threw the ball 10 times, so we'll see how that changes going forward. They did invest heavily in Irv Smith in the second round of the draft, too, so a little concerning as a Rudolph owner, even though they did also sign him to an extension in the offseason, too. So we'll see how that passing situation plays out in Minnesota as the season progresses. Additionally, Deebo Samuel, he looked okay. He had a couple catches in this one, played 88% of the snaps, which was good to see. Dante Pettis, who everybody expected to be the number one there, he played a grand total of 2 snaps in that game. So that's definitely concerning for any Pettis owners, but it looks like Deebo Samuel is going to get a lot of opportunity in that offense. And so that's it for that matchup. Our next matchup is Matt Recito, team name Stafford Infection, versus Matthew Silvestro, which is also his team name. So this one, it was another blowout for a week one matchup here. Matt Recito finished with 103 points, so in Matthew Silvestro with 162. So not close at all on this one. We'll start with Matt Recito's team. His quarterback for this week was Ben Roethlisberger. Did not look good. Just under 10 points. It's well known his home versus road splits are pretty bad, and this was a tough game for them up in New England. So he did not have a great game for him. There, Leonard Fournette, Devontae Freeman, and Todd Gurley at running back. Nothing really great here. Fournette, I like the way he was used. You know, he played most of the snaps and was getting some looks in the passing game, but he only finished with 11.5 points in this one. Devontae Freeman, this is a little concerning if I were a Freeman owner. He only played 50% of the snaps. He only had 4 fantasy points. That was a tough matchup. Minnesota's got a strong run defense, and Atlanta was down most of that game too, so they relied more on the pass there. So that's I mean, obviously he's going to do better than that. You should expect more than that going forward from him, but a little concerning to see he only played 50% of the snaps in that game. And Todd Gurley, everybody had different opinions, it seemed, on how the Rams would use him. He ended up playing 70% of the snaps, finished with 11 fantasy points, just over 100 total yards in this game. A lot of Malcolm Brown early on in this game, and it seemed like they almost used Todd Gurley as a closer in the second half. That's where he did most of his work in closing out that one. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, week in, week out, the usage on Todd Gurley, and if there's any pattern on how they use him, or if this truly is, you know, week to week, they're not sure, you know, how they're going to do it yet. So we'll see what unfolds with that whole Gurley situation and the number of touches he gets going forward. At receiver, Brandon Cooks, he had a rough game in this one, only six fantasy points, only a couple catches for him in this one. Emmanuel Sanders, coming off of an Achilles injury or torn Achilles, he looked really good in this one, 19 fantasy points. He finished as a wide receiver two on the week. So a solid, encouraging game to see from him there. Mike Williams, not a great name there, just under five fantasy points. And he got banged up a little bit in this one too. Their reports out earlier this week, they're concerned, they being the Chargers, are concerned about his knee and his status moving forward. So definitely something to keep an eye on there. Evan Ingram, he blew up this week. Number one tight end on the week. Finished with 31.6 fantasy points. Healthy number of targets. I think it was 11 catches he ended up with in this one, over 100 yards. Great game. Good things to see from him there. Definitely looking like the number one passing option in this Giants offense for this year. And then Mason Crosby, 5 points from the kicker spot for Matt Rosito. Moving over to Matthew Silvestro, Russell Wilson, okay game for him, 16.5 points there. Le'Veon Bell played 100% of the snaps in his first game in over a year. Finished with 23 fantasy points and finished as RB11 on the week. James Conner, again, this game was a blowout, so Pittsburgh was down most of the game. Only 10.5 fantasy points for him. I would expect his usage to go up, you know, in their week two game against Seattle, which is home in Pittsburgh, which should be a little more favorable for him. Ted Ginn was in the starting lineup this week for Matt Silvestro, and he paid off big. He had a touchdown on this one, 20 fantasy points, finished as wide receiver 23 on the week. DeSean Jackson, he blew up in this one with 38.5 fantasy points, finished as wide receiver 2 on the week, and number 5 overall, scoring-wise. He beat Washington for a couple deep touchdowns in this one. Tyler Lockett only had one catch in this game, but it happened to be a 44-yard touchdown, which salvaged his day fantasy-wise with 11.5 points there, but that was definitely a little concerning to see. He's expected to be the number one option in that passing game, and only had that one catch on, I think, two targets. So Seattle did only pass the ball 20 times, too, but I think we all expected a little bit more out of him in this one, especially against that Bengals defense. And then Calvin Ridley, he got in the end zone in this game, 16.5 points, solid game for him, finishing as wide receiver 27. And Greg Olsen, 7.5 points, not great, but, you know, I don't think we can expect the numbers from Greg Olsen of years past anymore either. He's always been banged up the last few years with injuries. And then 18 points from the kicker spot and Harrison Butker. Some bench performances. Matt Rosito left 30 points on his bench with Matthew Stafford there. He had a good game against that Arizona defense that is currently a little weak in the secondary right now with their two starting corners out. A.J. Brown, he had some big catches against the Browns, finished with 16 fantasy points. He looks like the real deal, almost like a younger Anquan Boldin, I feel like, is a good comparison for A.J. Brown. John Ross, where is he, you know, where was any of this the last 2 years, if you owned him? But he had 38 points. He beat Seattle for a couple touchdowns, a couple big plays, and this game could have even been bigger for him, but there were a couple of really bad drops that John Ross had in this one too. One of them, which would have definitely been a touchdown. But overall, I mean, that's very encouraging, obviously, to see this game from him. You know, nobody really saw this coming after how he performed the first 2 years he was in the league. Wide receiver 3 and number 6 player overall this week. Then Austin Hooper, you know, a solid 17-point game there from him on the bench. Finished as tight end 5. Vance McDonald, a little concerning. He only had 6 points in this one. A lot of people were expecting him. They still are, I think, expecting him to be a top 10 tight end this year, but not a good week one game against the Patriots for him. Moving to Matthew Silvestro on the bench, Case Keenum, great game, 30 points for him. He's going to be hard to rely on week in, week out, I feel like, moving forward. The Eagles' secondary is their weakness, and was able to exploit that a bit, and a good passing day for the Redskins' offense. Rex Burkhead, who I mentioned earlier, he was able to come in and get 46% of the snaps, steal some carries from Michelle and White, and finished with 13.5 fantasy points. Latavius Murray, solid game with 12.7 points. Pretty much, maybe not quite to the extent, but he's pretty much taking over that Ingram role in New Orleans. Ronald Jones, he actually looked like he had some life in this one, finishing with just over 10 points. Tampa's leading rusher in the game. Did only play 31% of the snaps. However, being that we just saw the week 2 game last night, not good there. Finished with 9 rushing yards, played 12% of the snaps, while Peyton Barber had a solid game in that one. And that's really about it for notable bench performances for either team in this one. Both teams I would consider fringe playoff teams. They both were kind of on that, 5-8 seed border last year. I think Matt Recito got in while Matt Silvestro did not. But both teams are probably on that fringe playoff edge right now. So we'll see how that progresses as the season moves on. Our next matchup is between Mike Love, team name Rebuilding, and Ryan Silvestro, team name Fear the Rue. So this one, Ryan had another, we have another blowout win with Ryan defeating Mike by a score of 170 to 115. Starting with Rebuilding, Mike Love's team, as the team name states, he's been rebuilding the last couple of years. He did win 2 championships in a row in, I would have been 2015 and 2016. But after that point, his team started to fall apart a little bit and moved to a rebuilding phase. His team's not bad, though. He's still a couple pieces away, mainly at wide receiver, before competing again. But anyways, his week one recap. Jared Goff, not a great fantasy game from him, 9.5 points. That'll definitely change, moving forward, especially in their week 2 matchup at home versus Saints. I would expect a big game from him there. David Johnson, he looked really good in that Cardinals air raid offense, 26 points. He was on the field, almost 90% of the snaps, playing in the slot a lot. He looked good, and he looks like a great fit in this offense, this new air raid offense in Arizona. Kerryon Johnson, a bit concerning of a game, only 8 points for him there. Detroit was running the ball a lot, but they were also getting other running backs involved too. Kerryon Johnson only finished with 57% of the snaps in this game. David Montgomery, he finished with 5.5 points. He only played 38% of the snaps. I think we all expected a little bit more from him starting off the season at least. Mike Davis did play a good chunk. He was getting a lot of the passing downs as well, which I think we all expected David Montgomery to get more of. So it'll be interesting to see how these snaps play out for them. Tariq Cohen did play a lot in that game too at running back. However, they were lining him up in the slot quite a bit. He played 70% of the snaps, but a lot of those had either Mike Davis or David Montgomery on the field with him as well. Jameson Crowder was his top receiver on the week with 24 points. Became the first receiver in NFL history to have 14 catches and not reach 100 yards. I think it was 97 he finished with in this one. But it's a solid fantasy game nonetheless with 24 points. And he finished as wide receiver 18 on the week. Jarvis Landry, he only had a few catches in this one for just under 12 points. You know, the Browns offense never really got going in this one. And Odell is obviously number one there and going to get a bulk of the targets. Might have expected a couple more targets for Landry, but again, once they get that offense rolling, we'll see how that all plays out in the passing game there. Dante Moncrief, just under 4 points, did not look good at all. A couple drops in this one. It looked like they were looking to him way too much, it looked like, trying to force him the ball almost. It wouldn't surprise me if he keeps playing like this, if he eventually loses his starting job to a James Washington or a Deontay Johnson. He just did not look good at all in this one. Delanie Walker, 22.5 points. He beat the Browns for a couple touchdowns. Finishes tight end 4 in the week. After coming off a year where he missed pretty much the whole season, that's definitely an encouraging sign for any Delanie Walker owners. And then 4 points for his kicker and Kaimi Fairbairn. Meanwhile, the Fear of the Rue, Ryan Silvestro, his team had a great week 1, scoring 170 points. Patrick Mahomes got him 30 points, QB5 on the week. Saquon Barkley finishes RB12, just under 21 points, in a solid game there. Dalvin Cook, he looked amazing in this one, 29 fantasy points, finished as RB3 on the week. He looked good. If he stays healthy in this offense with the emphasis on running the ball, he can put up a monster season this year. So we'll see if he's able to avoid the injury unlike the past couple years and see how the year progresses with him. At receiver, Amari Cooper, at 26 points in this one. He had a big game. All the Dallas receivers, him, Gallup, and Cobb, all had really good games in that one, actually. Cooper, well, with 26 fantasy points, finishing as wide receiver 14. Julio, average game, nothing great, nothing, probably a little under average for what you expect from Julio with 15 points. He did get a touchdown to help save the day fantasy-wise for him, though, to get to that 15. Allen Robinson, he looked really good in that opener against Green Bay, to finish with 20 fantasy points. Trubisky missed him on a number of throws, too, where this could have been a much bigger game for him. But it looks like you can rely on Allen Robinson, definitely as a wide receiver, too, going forward. Finished as wide receiver 22 on the week. Then Juju, he had a rough game against New England, but, New England's known for shutting down your number one option on offense, and that's what Juju is this year with Antonio Brown out. Finished with 14 points, though, so didn't kill you, but not great either. And a tight end, Eric Ebron, 1.8 points. You expect regression from Ebron after the touchdown crazy year last year. Then after losing Andrew Luck to retirement, it's not looking good for Ebron at all in that offense. He only played 40% of the snaps, so it's going to be hard to rely on him going forward. And then Robbie Gould, 13 points from the kicker spot. But overall, this was a pretty easy win for Ryan Silvestro. Some bench performances for rebuilding. Lamar Jackson, 36 points. That was definitely a great sign to see. A lot of questions on how Lamar Jackson would be in year two, especially in the passing game, but he had all of these points in the passing game. I think he finished with only 6 rushing yards in this one. Again, it was against the Dolphins, who are obviously tanking, but nonetheless encouraging to see that. Philip Dorsett blew up for 25 points as well. He played 84% of the snaps, even more than Josh Gordon did in this one. That was encouraging to see, however, Antonio Brown is playing in week 2 as of right now, so I would imagine that brings Dorsett's number of snaps down significantly in this one. Devin Funchess, only 6 points. However, he did break his collarbone in this one, and I think he's being placed on IR, so he's going to be out at least 8 weeks for them. Keyshawn Johnson finished with only 9.6 fantasy points. However, he played 76% of the snaps. Arizona had 4 receivers out there for more than 75% of the snaps. So they're really sticking to this air raid offense. I know a lot of that was probably due to them being down pretty big in that one too and trying to come back. But I would expect a lot of, you know, probably 60 to 70%. There are four receivers that's at 60 to 70% of the time or more, you know, going forward in that offense. Then Marquez Valdez-Scantling, only 9.2 points in a tough matchup against the Bears. Encouraging sign, though, is he is clearly their number two receiver over Geronimo Allison. Valdez-Scantling played 66% of the snaps in this one. Allison only played 50% and did not have any catches at all. Then James Washington, 7 points for him. But as previously mentioned, Moncrief did not look good. So this could be good. That could be good news for James Washington moving forward in the number of snaps and targets he gets in that offense. As for Fear the Rue on the bench, Baker Mayfield struggled in this one, 9.5 points. 3 interceptions brought that total down a lot as well. Tevin Coleman, 7.5 points, and then he got hurt. He's expected to miss a few weeks as well. Mike Davis, who we previously mentioned, he played 56% of the snaps, finished with 9.6 fantasy points, but he's mostly going to be a thorn for any David Montgomery owners right now, at least for the time being, until things may change there. Dontrell Hilliard finished with 12 points. He vultured a touchdown from Nick Chubb, first drive of the game. Chubb played the whole series. They get down to the 5 or 6, and then they bring in Hilliard, and he gets a touchdown on the first play there. But he's clearly the number two running back behind Chubb. He did get a concussion in this one, I believe, as well, so that's something to keep an eye on. Chris Conley, he had a great game against the Chiefs. 21.7 points for him, finished as a wide receiver 21 on the week. Devontae Parker, 10.5 points. It's going to be hard to rely on anybody in that Dolphins offense. He looked okay. Preston Williams, he had a touchdown in this one too and finished, with about 10 or 11 fantasy points. But, I mean, those are desperation plays at this point. It's going to be hard to trust anyone there. Then Sammy Watkins on Ryan's bench blew up with 49.8 points, wide receiver 1 on the week, and overall number 1 score on the week. I think I mentioned Lamar Jackson was number 1 overall earlier. I didn't mean to say Sammy Watkins, obviously. But he blew up. Tyreek Hill got hurt early in this one, which helped inflate Sammy Watkins' target numbers and overall catches. I think he finished with just under 200 yards and 3 touchdowns in the game. He's a lock and load wide receiver 1, while Tyreek Hill is out. And, maybe even after he's back, he's still probably a top 15 guy at receiver if he stays healthy. And then Mark Andrews, another big game on the bench here, 27.8 points, tight end 3 on the week. He did only play 42% of the snaps, but he obviously made them count with the 27 fantasy points. He's pretty far and away the best receiving option of Baltimore's tight ends. They do play a lot of, all 3 of their tight ends, and Hayden Hurst and Nick Boyle as well. I think Hurst and Boyle even had more snaps than Andrews, but Andrews is clearly the pass-catching guy there. So Ryan's team won their division last year, and again, obviously a stacked team based on what we just went over. I would expect the same from him this year. Probably the favorite at this point to win the title in this league for this season. And then Mike Love's team needs some pieces at receiver, as I mentioned earlier. Not bad at running back, going forward. this point next year, if he's able to acquire another receiver, top end receiver, his team could be looking a lot better and like a fringe playoff team as well. And that brings us to our last matchup of the week. Nick Lombardi, team name Heisenberg, versus Pat Shannon, team name First Down for What. So in this game, theme of the week, another blowout. Heisenberg, who was our top scoring team this league with 193 points, he blew out Pat's team by about 60, as he scored 133. So first, we'll go through Nick's team, Team Heisenberg. In full disclosure, I just started watching Breaking Bad a few weeks ago, so now I actually understand what his team name means. But anyways, in his lineup, everybody performed. He didn't even play a kicker this week. he had Drew Brees in his lineup with 24 points, finishes QB 13. Austin Eckler blew up 39.5 points, RB2 on the week, number 3 overall on the week. Marlon Mack, he had 170-plus yards against the Chargers, 28 points for him, finished as running back number 5. John Brown, he had a good connection with Josh Allen in this one, 28 points for him. Looks like him and Allen will be a good fit together in Buffalo for both of them. Allen likes to go deep, and John Brown likes to use his speed. So he had a good game there, finished as wide receiver 8. Chris Godwin, he was saved by a touchdown in this one, but not a great game. Again, nobody really had a good one for Tampa. 14.5 points for him. T.Y. Hilton, he blew up more than anybody expected with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. He finished as wide receiver 7 with 28.7 points. Robert Woods, a solid game, 16.5 points for him, just outside of wide receiver 2 territory there. Then Darren Waller, the hype seemed to match up with the results in week 1. He finished with 7 catches for 70 yards, so 14 fantasy points were good for tight end 7 on the week. And as I said, no kicker for him this week. In week 1, he had Matt Bryant with 0 points for him, as Atlanta did not have a good game there. For Pat's team, Dak Prescott, 39.5 points. He finishes QB1 on the week. That was, not a surprise performance, I'd say, against the Giants, but a great game for Dak. The whole Dallas offense looked great. Dak is probably the next guy to get paid on that Cowboys team as well. A running back, Josh Jacobs, he looked like the real deal. Played 74% of the snaps, finished as RB8 with 24.3 fantasy points. He's been used in the passing game a lot too, so very very good signs for any Josh Jacobs owners going forward. Looks like he will end up being a true bell cow type running back in that offense. Matt Breida, only 3.7 points. Tevin Coleman got hurt in this one too, but they were not running the ball well at all. Could be good for him going forward with Tevin Coleman out. Raheem Mostert will probably play a significant amount, however, so I'm sure it'll still be some sort of split and not exclusively Matt Breida, but should be a little better going forward for him. Duke Johnson finishes RB23 on the week with 13 points. Solid game. Carlos Hyde was used a decent amount in this one, but Hyde did look good as well. But Duke did not look bad either. I think he'll still see a majority of the touches moving forward. At receiver, Odell Beckham, 14 points. He looked good in the game, but overall the Browns offense struggled, especially in the second half. So it could have been a little bit better, but I have a feeling they will figure it out on offense there. And as they do, that will obviously help Odell's numbers. Michael Gallup, a huge game, 25.8 points. He finished as wide receiver 13. That Dallas offense looked great. Robbie Anderson, he had 5.3 points. That was disappointing to see. And with the news that came out that Sam Darnold's going to miss a few weeks too, not looking good for Robbie Anderson moving forward, at least for the time being. But obviously I would downgrade him for while Darnold is out, and you know, maybe even until he shows something with Darnold this season. Tight end Gerald Everett, 1.7 points. You know, Pat does not have many tight end options, and Jordan Reed was out in this one, so more of a desperation play there. And then Jake Elliott with 6 points as kicker. Bench wise, for Heisenberg, Andy Dalton, he looked really good. That Bengals offense looked a lot better than it did at all last year, or even the past couple years. Zach Taylor could end up being a great hire for them, especially for their offense. Dalton finished with 26 points. LeSean McCoy, he finished with 10 points in this one. He played 29% of the snaps, and Damian Williams was up in the 60s. But McCoy was still effective in this one. He looked pretty good on a number of his runs. So he definitely has some value there. And hard to say, but he might get a little bit of an increase in touches moving forward as he becomes a little more familiar with the offense there. Dare Ogunbowale for Tampa Bay, he played most of the third down snaps, finished with 7 fantasy points. Depending on how Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones look moving forward, he could maybe eat into some of their snaps, but definitely the pass catching back in Tampa as he played exclusively almost on third downs for them. Miles Sanders, only 3.5 points. That timeshare in Philly was pretty split. He played 48% of the snaps, but, you know, Jordan Howard played a decent amount, and Darren Sproles played a little more than some expected as well. So it's going to be hard week in, week out to predict that, almost similarly to the Patriots backfield. And let's see, Trey Quinn, 13.7 points. He can be relied on. That's probably about an average game, what you can expect for him. He should see a number of underneath targets. Not much upside for him yardage-wise, but should be an okay floor play around that range. And Tyler Eifert, 7.5 points. He looked healthy. He looked okay. But it's going to be hard to rely on him week in, week out as well. And then for Pat on the bench, Tyrell Williams blew up with 25 points. He's obviously the number one receiver now for the Raiders with Antonio Brown out of town. But he looked really good in this one, finished as wide receiver 16. Mecole Hardman, he only had one catch in this game. But with Tyreek Hill out for the foreseeable future, Hardman will get a number of looks, it seems. He did play 78% of the snaps in this game. So that's definitely encouraging for the next few weeks at least. And we'll see how he picks up in that offense. Then Dante Pettis, who I did mention earlier, he only played 2 snaps, 1 catch for 7 yards. Who knows what's really going on there? I know Kyle Shanahan has been calling him out. There was a report earlier in the preseason where, you know, he had to earn his roster spot. But they also mentioned after the game that he was potentially playing hurt, but he was not on the injury report either for the week. So hard to say what's really going on there, but I would expect Pettis to play, you know, significantly more snaps in the next game. And, Cam Newton, he had a really bad game week one. He does not look good. Even in the Thursday night game last night, he threw for over 300 yards last night, but he does not look right. So, he is missing throws by a ton, and he's not running the ball at all. Something health-wise is likely, bothering him there, but he does not look himself. Not good news for any Cam owners right now, I would say. And that's it for that matchup. Pat's team is in more of a rebuilding phase, I would say. I think he's missed the playoffs the last year or two. He's got some good pieces, but he needs to kind of fill that out, to fill out a stronger starting lineup. Heisenberg, I wasn't expecting his team, to put up 190 points week one, obviously. But, the way some of these guys are playing in their current situations, his team's definitely in playoff consideration, I think. And, especially if Melvin Gordon holds out most of the year, Austin Eckler looks amazing as the RB1 on the Chargers. And, I think he could put up a great, you know, top 10 running back season this year if, you know, given the opportunity. So we'll see how that plays out. But that's it for our week one recap for all of our matchups. Moving forward, I may have another owner in our league, Ryan Silvestro, team owner of Fear the Rue. I'll have him join me occasionally as well. We'll kind of discuss things together, get some additional input on, you know, some of his thoughts on what's happening throughout the league as well. But, you know, in the future, we will definitely have him on, and potentially even some other owners in the league will make a guest appearance as well. But that's it for our week one recap. We will see you guys next week for our week two recap. Thank you.